I have a poem that I'd like to share with you tonight. This is from a Polish lady. She died a few years ago. Szymborska is her last name, and the poem is called Miracle Fair. The commonplace miracle that so many common miracles happen. The usual miracle, invisible dogs barking in the dead of night. One of many miracles, a small and airy cloud is able to upstage the massive moon. Several miracles in one. An alder is reflected in the water and is reversed from left to right and grows from crown to root and never hits the bottom, though the water isn't deep. A run-of-the-mill miracle, winds mild to moderate, turning gusty into storms. A miracle in the first place, cows will be cows. Next, but not least, just this cherry orchard from just this cherry pit. A miracle minus top hat and tails. Fluttering white doves. A miracle. What else can you call it? The sun rose today at 3:14 a.m. and will set tonight at 8:01. A miracle that's lost on us. The hand actually has fewer than 6 fingers, but it's still got more than 4. A miracle. Just take a look around. The inescapable earth. An extra miracle. Extra and ordinary. The unthinkable can be thought. I share this poem because I think it speaks to our day in a way and a tendency that we have to think that the biblical world is saturated with miracles. They're happening on every page, but our age tends to be kind of left out. We don't have miracles in the same way that they took place before. But I don't think that's the case. We don't have any reason to believe there are fewer miracles today than there have ever been. But it does mean that we need a certain sensibility like the poet, an awareness and recognition of small miracles in order to appreciate the big miracles that are taking place. And I think this idea speaks to our gospel this weekend from Luke chapter 17, the cleansing of the 10 lepers. There's an obvious miracle on display. It's bold, it's hard to miss, the cleansing of the lepers themselves. Christ says to them, go show yourselves to the priests. It's a really significant gesture because it's the priests in the temple who have issued a verdict of uncleanness on the lepers. And since that happened, these 10 have been living in isolation. They've been, in a sense, banished from their friends and families, from society, to live on the outskirts, to live alone, essentially, in a community. We don't know how long they've been living this way, any of them. But when Christ says, go show yourselves to the priest, and they realize that they've been cleansed, it means they're going so that they can be restored to their family and friends. The priest can revoke this decree of separation, which means they realize very soon they'll be returning to their loved ones, to spouses, children, parents, siblings. They'll return to society as a whole. They'll be returning to their former life as they knew it. So it's very striking to think of them, to picture them as they're going. And it's probably the case that they were running more than that they were just walking, because they knew what awaited them. They knew who awaited them. So it's kind of a powerful scene as we think of returning to all that's home, the home that they had lost. It's a beautiful little detail that Luke uses to describe this. And he says, as they were going, they were cleansed. It doesn't happen all at once, which is oftentimes the way that we would prefer. It's one of the things that makes our relationship with God kind of tense from time to time, because we really prefer things immediately. We want answers to our questions. We want resolution about things that we need, that we're praying for. We want it to happen very quickly, as soon as possible, God, to resolve the matter that we present in prayer. But it very seldom happens that way. God's far too subtle in that regard in our lives and how he operates and works with us. These things are revealed, in a sense, rather gradually. And it says something beautiful about the Christian life, this common journey that we're on. We too are healed as we go in the Christian life. It's not easy, but we stick with it long enough. Before we know it, we begin to be kind of transformed by grace that's slowly operating on us in our lives. There's another beautiful line in Scripture that speaks of this in John chapter 16. Christ is preparing the disciples for his death, and he's alluding to the Holy Spirit that will come upon them. And he says to them, it's very poignant, it's almost a little haunting. He says, I have many more things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. He doesn't say to them, I have many more things to tell you, but I'm not going to. You're never going to hear them. He says, but you cannot bear them now. As if to say, there will be a day, a time in your life when you will be able to bear the things that I say. And then the Holy Spirit will share with you the other things that I have to enlighten you with, to share with your life. Ultimately, all of these things that God has to say to us will be given, but not on the time that we intend. We are cleansed, too, in the Christian life as we go. It doesn't happen all at once, but stick with it long enough, and it happens to us. But there is a second miracle that also needs to be discussed. And this one, again, is very subtle. It takes place. It's so subtle that there's only one person who recognizes it. And it's a miracle that leads him face to face with Christ. And if that's not a miracle, then what's a miracle supposed to be? It's a true miracle that happens, but it's one that we've got to pay a little bit more attention to. It's in the process, we think of these 10 lepers probably running to be restored to friends and family. It makes it all the more impressive in a way that one returns. Because you know what? He knows what's waiting for him, who's waiting for him. And yet he goes back anyway. Makes it all the more impressive that he does this. He checks his own human instinct because of the sake of this second miracle. And he's returning in a sense of gratitude to Christ. The first miracle cleanses at the exterior level, the physical level, the visible level. But the second miracle is an internal miracle that's operative in its life. And it's a way in which gratitude in him is cleansing him of an interior leprosy. And this is an interior leprosy that each of us can have in life, and we do have. It's when gratitude is shut off in us, doesn't flow out of us towards other people and towards God. But it is a miracle, nonetheless, because of where it brings him. As he's returning to Christ, it's this gratitude that's cleansing him at the interior level. And that's the level that's most important when it comes to God relating to us. And it leads him powerfully to the feet of Christ. Luke relates that he lies down at the feet of Christ and he gives thanks. And this is where it takes another really fascinating turn. The word in Greek that's used to describe the posture of this leper is eucharisteo, which gives us the English word Eucharist. It's kind of powerful if you think about it. We're celebrating the Eucharist right now. What is the Mass? It's a ritual of worship that gives us as human beings an opportunity to do what this leper does, to place ourselves at the feet of Christ and to give thanks. A very beautiful gesture. Where would we be if we didn't have this offering of the Mass that Christ gives us? We wouldn't be quite capable of offering the fullness of our thanks and to return to God. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we've got no less to be grateful for than the leper who was cleansed when we come before Christ and we give thanks. Because ultimately, everything we have is a gift from God. We think to ourselves, why does he return in light of who's waiting for him, this leper? Ultimately, I think it's a lesson to us, his returning, that all gratitude, no matter how small it is ultimately something that points to God and finds its fulfillment, its completion in God. Sometimes it's the gratitude over the very tiniest things that's the most important, because it's covering the most distance between ourselves and God. We think of this word, Eucharist, thanksgiving. It's a gesture of this leper that explains what we do when we worship in this life. But it also explains, in a way, the next life. It explains heaven, in a way. Because in heaven, the saints, the blessed, are celebrating the heavenly liturgy, the heavenly Eucharist, in the presence of God. So a lesson to us, in one way, is what sense do we make of this life relative to the next life? This life is preparation for the next life. Preparation for the heavenly liturgy. This earthly liturgy prepares us to celebrate the liturgy with the Trinity, with the angels, with the saints, with the Blessed Mother. So we practice, in a way, in this life, our own gratitude, in hopes that gratitude may grow in us. We think of the saints who are in the presence of God for eternity. Anything in them that's less than grateful has been taken away. One way to think of the saints is that in heaven, they've given themselves over entirely, completely to gratitude and to praise of God. There's nothing left. So we might think to ourselves, what is it in me that is less than gratitude, that eventually will need to be taken away from me so that I can abandon myself over to the praise of God? We have, in a way, the Mass to help us to express the fullness of our gratitude in this life. And I would say, importantly, we also have the very many miracles that are happening in our lives to prepare us as well. And if we want to recognize the big miracles, the overwhelming ones, then it's important that we learn to recognize the small ones too.